Let me pray for our time. God, would you guide your word, that it would speak to our hearts, that it would transform our minds, and that it would equip us to live for you. It's in your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Maybe you grab food like this. It's a way that I grab food that I don't like that my wife loves. Maybe you have a family member, let's say a cousin or a sibling, or maybe it is a spouse. And when your cousin or your sibling or your spouse's food comes out before you and their food is hot and it's looking good and you haven't got your food yet, what do you do? You know you grab one of them fries. You know if they food come out before you, you grab one of their fries, because maybe you have the rule that we have in my house, which is my food is our food is her food. But seriously, we do believe that ours is ours, and so we share. It's the way that we conduct ourselves in our home, and because we believe that everything we have is ours, it affects how we treat things. What your belief set is will determine how you act. Said another way, what you think, what you believe determines how you move. It determines your actions. It determines different steps that you take. Let's say another. You have a little cousin that you're caring for, or a child that you are caring for, and this child has been bullied in school. First few times, they were making fun of the kid. Second time, they gave him a little push. Third time, they punched him. Now, your belief set is going to determine the response of your child. Some of you are of the motivation of, yes, and they punched him, and Jesus turned the other cheek, and so should my son. And I'm going to say, to be extremely clear, our brother Jonathan last summer preached a sermon about the beauty of turning the other cheek. I would encourage any believer in here or any person considering Christ to take a listen to it, because it really blessed our souls. But your belief set may also be, if they hit you, you hit them back. You see, our actions don't just flow from this crazy place that we make up. Our actions flow from what we believe. And God's word wants to steal our attention. It wants to grab who we are. It wants us to have our rooting be in God so that our actions reflect him. But there's a war going on. Nobody's safe. Because there's a war between the world wanting your attention and God wanting your attention. Satan doesn't have any strength over you, but he can lure your attention away to make your beliefs be on his kingdom, where God is saying, I created you, I love you. Would you allow your beliefs to be set in my kingdom? So today, we're going to look at a belief system. We're going to look at the beauty of our beliefs and our actions flowing out of our beliefs. If you would, join me in Timothy, the first book of Timothy. And we're going to look at chapter 1. And hopefully see the reason why we need to be people who have our beliefs guide all that we do. 1 Timothy, if someone gets there in a pew Bible that's near your knees, let me know what page we're on so we can share it. And for those of you at home, we celebrate you worshiping with us as well. Good morning, good morning. 1689. Amen. My brother Michael, we have a number of new people present. And we would love for you, as new people, if it's your first time with us, we want to tell you two things. One, we are so happy you're here. And two, we are a church body that wants to get into the word. So that's why we tell you the page number. But we also want to walk with you. And so we'd love to have you share with us who you are, we have a small brochure or bulletin, and it has a contact card in it. If you would be willing to just fill that out and give it to my brother in the back, we would love to follow up with you as a church. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting at verse 1. We're going to read 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, came by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love. The goal of this command is love. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irregular, irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted unto me. The word of the Lord. I've been captured by some movies, and this movie theater or this movie group has sold $30 billion in movies since 2008. It is the Marvel series, and they get my money every time they drop a new movie, y'all. Since Iron Man in 08, I've been hooked. But the reason why I got hooked and 30 billion of y'all, a few of y'all in this room got hooked, is because they do a great job of character development. And for some reason, you feel a little bit connected. Maybe you are a person who gets a little wimpish when you come around a person that you like, or maybe you come from humble means and was able to become a little bit strong. Whatever it is, you feel a little bit connection through the character development. And in order to understand this scripture, our chapter, our new Bible focus for this next season of 1 Timothy, you got to understand a little bit of background of Paul. Brother Paul is one that started off on the wrong side of the tracks. He started off wanting to harm, kill, and see Christians experience great pain. And so Paul has this crazy experience in Acts chapter 9 where he's going on the Damascus road. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, it says, as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And from that point on, Paul listens to God, and Jesus specifically speaks to Paul and gives him instructions for how to move, how to live, how to have his being. And Paul is now a sent person. That's what an apostle is, a sent person on a mission for Jesus. And part of his mission is to share the gospel with everybody, to tell people about Jesus. And what he does is he runs into this guy, Timothy. And we're in the book of Timothy, but you got to understand the background so that when we start diving into this text, you're like, okay, maybe I get it a little bit. Paul and Timothy get connected. And Timothy's mom is a Jewish woman. If you keep your finger there, in our 1 Timothy text, in Acts chapter 16, it gives us a little bit of background on Paul and Timothy. It says, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they grew daily in numbers. Paul grabs Timothy. They go out on these journeys. Paul is now mentoring Timothy. How many of you, just by a show of hands, have ever had help before? They say that 96% of the top 100 companies in America have a mentoring program. They see that if they pour into the next generation of leaders, the company will be better. That's of the top 100. Of the top 50 companies in America, 100% of them have a mentoring program. Why? Because helping somebody avoid the hurdles that you experienced will only make them better. How many times you bumped your head and wished somebody would have told you? Or better yet, bump your head and you see somebody didn't tell you and now you mad at them. Come on now, I ain't been the only one. There's beauty in mentoring. Mentoring helps you feel a little bit safe because you see this person has my good, is looking out for me, and I get to move forward at a faster rate because I skip some of the hurdles. Paul does this with Timothy, takes him up under his wing, shows him how to share the gospel, shows him how to do it in different environments, and now we enter into our verses where it says, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God our Savior and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. See that relationship of love, of connection, of investment. He says, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. That's his greeting. That's his welcome. That's his communication to let him know, hey, I want this gospel message to be at the heart of even how I greet thee. How I greet thee. There's a bunch of families, and I'm not always the best at this. When y'all call me sometime, I'm like, hey, what's up? I need to be like, hey, how you doing? You all right today? Cool. But my mind sometimes goes into like ministry mode of like, how can we solve a problem? What's going on? But when I call and talk to customer service people, I shock them. Because when I'm calling the Detroit Water Department or I'm calling DTE again and again, oh, sorry, if you work for DTE, don't be offended. But when I call, they say, hello. I say, hi. How are you today? This is Leon Stevenson. How can I help you? Oh, well, I was just trying to see how your day was. Hey, I'm calling to see if you might be able to give me, like, I preface a lot, because if you've ever worked in customer service, you know, people throw the darts at you. They come at you. And whatever they was carrying that day, sometime they can unload on you. And newsflash, people don't want to help you and go the extra mile for you when you mad at them. So just as a little pastoral word, like, allow some of our Christianity to flow in even the spaces that can be mundane. Oh, I got a call about this thing. I shouldn't even have to call. It ain't that person's fault on the phone. Let them be surprised by our love, our kindness, even how we would greet thee. It would be a little messed up. You might be a little weird if you call somebody and repeat this verse. Hello, can I have some help? Grace and mercy, peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, like don't hit them like that. Wait till, okay, hit them like that on the end, okay. But you can let your Christianity flow in your posture, in your demeanor, in your compassion. Paul does that in these words, and then he moves on to verse 3. He says, as I urged you, I went into Macedonia. Stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. It's interesting that they have been jumping from place to place, communicating the gospel, and now he's asking Timothy, don't go. Actually, stay here. Actually, invest in these people. Actually, see them grow. But I would ask you, what is the gauge of a healthy church? How would you gauge if you're at a healthy church, if you are a healthy believer growing? I want to say that be careful not to gauge the wrong things, because oftentimes if you go back the past 10 years and you do a Google search and say, hey, church scandals last 10 years, unfortunately, a lot of those scandals come when those churches are the biggest. So it can't just be numbers mean growth. Unfortunately, it can be when they have a flourishing ministry. They have a great a homeless ministry where they're feeding thousands. No, the gauge of a healthy church is, are the people diving into God's word and it's affecting the way they live? Are people truly allowing their mindsets, their hearts to be set on Jesus, and because of that, they don't act the same way they used to? We don't act the same way we used to. You see, doctrine is another word for beliefs. Doctrine equals beliefs. And so when he says here that there are some false doctrines out there, there's some false beliefs being taught in the church, and he puts one of his main men to say, no, you're going to stay and invest in this place. You're going to stay and see that crazy myths and crazy genealogies don't get mixed up. And y'all don't know some of the myths that were going on there, because nobody knows. He doesn't detail all of them specifically, but we know myths. Myths disguise and have the potential of slowly moving us away from the gospel. Let me give you two examples. I didn't know what a horoscope was until I was young, and I think I was in a church area. And somebody was like, when's your birthday? It's like November. Oh, you one of them Scorpios. I'm like, I'm a Scorpio? I'm like 6. Ooh. So then they start breaking down to me, what are the potential behaviors of the Scorpio and how my life will likely align with it, because you know how they do. Myth. Why? Because it has the potential of defining who I am outside of what God says. So, Pastor, are you saying you got to worship it and all that? You may have varying degrees of how you understand zodiac signs and the whole nine. I'm not saying you worship in Satan. What I'm saying is anything that has the potential of defining who you are instead of Christ defining who you are has a slippery slope. Be careful. Let me put on the other side. Enneagram. I'm going to hit the black folk and the white folk. Come on now. Come on now. See something? So I heard somebody say something like, the Enneagram is each of these things, whether it is Myers-Briggs, Zodiac, Enneagram, it's an attempt to be able to put words around your personality. But you got to be careful when it starts moving towards defining who you are or making excuses for certain behaviors. So they say, oh man, like, she's an 8. You know she's a challenger. So what that means, she don't have to be godly? Is that now an excuse for behavior that is not what God is calling us to? You see, I don't care which of these, but do you see how if you allow it to be something that redefines you, it becomes a myth within Christianity and can subtly lead you from sound doctrine? See, Timothy is saying, hold on. My people get to understand who God is through his lens. He defines all things. And for some reason, these myths have infiltrated the church. And so instead of going to the next place, Paul says, no, stay there. Stay here. Camp out here. Because all their actions are going to flow out of their beliefs. And if they have stinking doctrine, they're going to have stinking actions. Wifey and I had bought the house, and the people before us had torn down a garage. And so we're like, you know what? This garage pad is in the back of the crib. Like, it's just ugly. The kids was falling all over it. It had holes in it and stuff. So we had the pad like dug out. And around the time that we had the pad dug out, there was this movement in our church to do gardening. Now, I don't even like gardening, y'all, but sometimes they hooked me in, the city giving away free seeds, people running and getting all these. So now I got this big thing, like, kind of open. Wife is like, let's do gardening. We get ready to do it. And as I start pulling out stuff in the soil, there's, like, bottles, cans. I ain't going to tell y'all some of the nasty stuff we found in the dirt. I knew that soil was not going to be good, because if I planted in that soil, that the plastic that had been leaching into that soil was going to now be in my greens. So I had to build, raised beds with new soil. But I say that because if your doctrine is off, it will infuse all of your mindset. Bad doctrine is bad soil, and the question you want to ask yourself is, what do I want to see my spirit grow in? What do I want to be flourishing in? Timothy is here with this church to point out some bad thinking. Our previous lead pastor used to say stinking thinking. He's here to point that out. Don't think we've arrived. Don't think you've arrived. I know I haven't arrived. There's something in there that God wants to do by helping move us towards a greater understanding of his doctrine. Continue with me. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Family, we are going to have some tough conversations over the next year. We as a church have committed to going deeper in learning God's word and teaching God's word this year. Our focus is going to be getting deeper into the Bible. In doing so, there's going to be some components where we have to re-examine, like, what we think and what we believe so that our actions can reflect Christ. But know that just because we try to communicate God's word clearly, and at times that word may ruffle your feathers, it may make me and you feel some type of way. It might not be everything that you believe and agree on already. That doesn't mean that it's not in love. And sometimes we equate love with always feeling good. No, he's here to challenge them to change some lies that they're believing. And he says the place he does it from is love. I'm watching what I believe the world is trying to do in a loving manner. I'm watching a debate that's taking place now with this simple question. How do you define a woman? How do you define a woman? The debate is actually taking place in the worldly spheres between the LGBTQ plus community and progressive women. Sisters are saying, women are saying, hey, I understand you've experienced injustice to this community. I understand wrong has been done to you. And I understand that there is a community formed that embraces you. But do you get to redefine what a woman is? I don't care where you at this point stand on that. That's not the argument. The argument is, who gets to define something? Is it us or is it God? You see, we are committed to these scriptures because there's going to be a component of all of us where God's going to show it and you're going to be like, oh, I thought I was cool and feeling good and God just exposed me. Why? Because his word is a light unto our path and we all have some darkness somewhere in our thinking. But will we submit to his definition or ours? Or ours. Verse 6, some have departed from these and turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about or what they are so confidently affirm. Now, Pastor K is going to be preaching, and I'm excited for him to bring the word, but I just laugh because I see myself in those last two words of verse 7. Confidently affirm. Y'all, there's been times where I was so excited to tell somebody something and I was 100% wrong. But I was passionate, though. I'm trying to tell you, boy, you can fly if you believe it. You can fly, though, you know, like just silly stuff, you know, just things that don't make no sense. I look back and I'm like, what was I thinking? You can confidently affirm the wrong thing. But here, we start to get some understanding and some insight into the law. Look at verse 8. It says, we know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels. The law. The law. What is a law? A law is a system of rules which a particular country or community recognizing as regulating the actions of its members and which it may enforce the is an imposition of penalties. Basically, here's the guidelines, and if you don't do these guidelines, here's the consequences. Here's the consequences. But do you want to live as a person that makes your decisions based on how big the consequence is? If so, the law is for you. Because you know it's weird when a person brings up the consequences based on a simple action. You've been to work and y'all didn't have to go for COVID and the whole nine. And your boss says, okay, we all coming back to the office. We got to be here at 8:00. And then one person says, but what if we don't come? Or you ask your kids or family that you're caring for or students that you're teaching. And you say, okay, I need y'all to clean these things up. If I don't. See, the very idea that you would ask that question shows that you're not thinking about the loving opportunity I gave you to do it. You're thinking about what can I get away with if I don't. And there's a part of our hearts that operate in that way. And he's saying here, the law is for that type of person, the person that's trying to see what can I get away with. The law is the one for the unrighteous at times. It's for the, how does it say, lawbreakers and rebels. then gives a whole list of things, and the list is going to be even longer as we go through different topics, and we're not diving into any one of these topics today, but it's to give you a sense of God saying, I have a right and there is a wrong. There is not gray areas on everything because we don't want to land the plane. No, I as God define. And when I define, I have a good and a not good. So he gives this list, but this list is not intended to be all-encompassing, and it's not intended to focus in on one thing. It's intended to show aspects of the heart that can choose not to abide by how God defines his doctrine. So he lists rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that conforms the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted unto me. I was scrolling on Instagram, and this poster came up, or this picture came up. And I thought it was fitting to help us understand the law. It says, due to dishonesty, self-check is closed. Sorry to all the honest people. They put this at the self-checkout at Walmart, and it just was like, isn't that sad? Isn't that sad that when you act in a way that you know is good, you don't need the rules? You don't need nobody to look after you. You don't need no cameras. Why? Because you're going to beep, and you're going to pay, and you out. They ain't got no cameras. Ain't nobody looking. Beep, 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 beep. You know, like, you'll be excited. You'll lead a whole Walmart with a shopping cart full if you're ready to break the law. Because if you looking for a reason, you looking to be a person that's not of God, you looking to set your own doctrine, you'll find opportunities. Darkness awaits. Evil awaits. There will be an opportunity. But there's opportunity for growth. There's opportunity for a resetting. There's opportunity to have our minds set on thee and us to be able to delight in sound doctrine. And so, Mac Ave, with all that's going on in our world, one of the reasons why your elders chose 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy in the book of Romans is to have our minds reset on the things of God. We will analyze culture, we will hear culture, but culture will not define us and will not affect and lead us into how we act. God's word will be the definition and the doctrine by which we abide by. I want to leave you guys with this analogy or this illustration that a guy named Tim Stafford shared. He works for Christianity Today. He said, a pastor that I know named Stephen Belinsky starts each of his confirmation or each of his membership classes with a jar full of beans. He asks his students to guess how many beans are in the jar, and on a big pad of paper, they write down their estimates. Then next to those estimates, he helps them make another list. Their favorite songs. When the lists are complete, he reveals the actual number of beans in the jar. The whole class looks over their guesses to see which estimate was closest to being right. Belinsky then turns to the list of favorite songs. And which one of these is the closest to being right? He asked the students. The students protest that there is no right answer. A person's favorite song is purely a matter of taste. Belinsky, who holds a PhD in philosophy from Notre Dame, then asks, when you decide what to believe in terms of your faith, is that more like guessing the number of beans or more like choosing your favorite song? Always, Belinsky says, from old as well as young, he gets the answer, choosing one's faith is more like choosing a favorite song. I hope you caught that. That for the beans, There is a right and wrong answer. It either was 225 beans or it wasn't. Doctrine has a right and wrong answer. It's not based on our preferences and whether Earth, Wind, and Fire or Usher are the best. Doctrine, God, which God sets, is defined. And family, we want to have our actions, our moving, our decisions, the way in which we operate be based on doctrine. It's one of the reasons why we hope that everyone is in a fellowship group. Those are our groups that meet throughout the week, doing life together, talking about the scriptures. But there's a question in those within our fellowship group leaders where we can ask, hey, I heard you say that. Can you tell me where that is in the text? We're trying to get ourselves back into the text constantly because if I can be honest, we have had rhythms of not being in God's word, saturated with his truth, and it begins to show. Let's work out in the text, family, and let our actions flow from our doctrine, from our beliefs. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you. Help us, Lord, as your people to first have a heart that knows whatever you bring, it's in love. That you are a loving God who loves us and you equip us to reflect that love into your world. Now, Lord, also expose and show us areas where we need to grow. That we may reflect you and live for you. And even if evil wants to smack us in the face, that we would listen to how you want us to respond. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.